Good morning. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip Wednesday, the 1st of June. June already? I see I said end of May. Yes, that's June already. Mad. All right. Another week on my own and then she's home. Coming home. All quite harmonious, but I think the old small apartment's got to her. Either that or she just misses the old Clooney-esque looks. Or perhaps she misses you. I've got Izzy set with me. Perhaps she misses you, Bubba. I've got no takers for the old Boris pods. No takers. They all slink under the covers with their pathetic little... I mean, it's almost embarrassing, isn't it? The defence of him is almost worse than him. The sycophantic sort of patheticness of the defences and these ministers who've just got a zero about them rolling out. You can just see them sort of dying from the inside, but keep going anyway, keep going anyway. Pathetic. Didn't cover Forest getting up. Fantastic. I know some weren't happy with the refereeing and things in the match. Never mind. As I put on Twitter and got called out incorrectly, but Forest were the best team in the championship in 2022. If we take the marker of the most points and things, Forest were the best team. They got the most points per game since January the 1st, considerably. Funnily enough, their opponents were second best. Forest were 2.19, I think, or 2.12, can't remember one. I think 2.19 points per game since January the 1st, and Huddersfield were 2.06, considerably better than Fulham and Bournemouth, and their playoff rivals, who were sort of all down around 1.8, 1.9, and obviously teams who were up there at Christmas, like West Brom, Middlesbrough, capitulated. So whether you like their style of football or whatever, I for one am delighted to see them back personally. Big Forest fan, best British team, the Forest team that won the of all our European Cup winners, if I was ranking them, those Forest wins would be up there for me, and then probably United's treble winning one, and then probably Villa, to be fair. You know, Tony Morley, Gary Shaw, Peter with days. And then the Chelsea and Liverpool ones can get in the bin, can't they? There we go. So, yes, great to see that. Right, we have the memorial this week. The memorial at Jack's Place. This is one of my favourite courses to watch. I think it's a cracking tournament. Golfing aficionados of my age may well remember the 1987 Ryder Cup being played here, where Europe won. It was the first time we'd won on American soil. Jose and Seve doing the samba on the green, you remember that? Eamon Darcy, who had a swing like a broken windmill. He broke his putter around about the 5th or 6th, and then beat Crenshaw one up, putting with his one iron. I think he had a couple of goes with a bladed sand iron as well, but predominantly putted with his one iron. Fowler hitting a great wedge in at the last to get a half in one of the four balls, I think. And then Seve, of course, getting the winning. I think Seve got the winning point over Curtis Strange, who at the time was a fantastic player, winning US Opens. That was sort of my golfing heyday and great memories of the 85, 87, 89 Ryder Cups, sort of when it became a competition to what it's gone into be now, rather than a US procession. Overnight, the tournament is going to be overshadowed because we have had the initial field announced for the first Saudi Arabian tournament. This Saudi LIV... sort of setting up in opposition to the tour, been lots of talk about it, and this will now dominate the week. I said in my thing that, you know, Suggsy asked me about it and he said, oh, I don't think it'll gain any traction, it's got to get off the ground. I said, you don't have to worry about that, it will. Money talks. They have announced 48 players. As I said last week, the danger with this. It's not a danger. It's going to go there. Whatever we think, and all this sort of self-righteous morality that people are coming out with, even prominent golf tipsters and things, they've tipped up tournaments in the Far East, Saudi Arabian internationals with McIlroy playing, Johnson playing. They've tipped and written all these things without any of this outcry, and now all of a sudden there's a morality issue with Saudi Arabia. You can't pick and choose your moments. That's my issue with stuff like this. It's like the Qatar World Cup. You can't sit here and slate it and then watch it and fervently think it's great. You either take a stand and say these things are wrong. They're going to happen. I can take all the stands I like. They're still going to happen. But at least you can have some... But you can at least don't. It's this sort of fake morality that people have with things, and this is another one. This will ultimately either become a third tour or lessen the other tour. And the players, McIlroy's and that, they've all gone off and played in these other things and bagged the money. The PGA Tour aren't worried about its effect on golf. The PGA Tour are worried about its effect on the PGA Tour and their little cash cow. The same with the DP World Tour, which has become third rate anyway. Over the years, the PGA Tour has become far and away where people want to be. And anybody, as soon as they're good, may cut their teeth on the DP World Tour, but they'll soon end up in America. It's not like the days of Seve winning it, Faldo, Montgomery, when it had a bit about it. Hence, the Ryder Cup will go back to us getting pasted probably year in, year out, as we did last time. But my statement last week, I said that there'll be the up-and-coming players that will be the determinator of this tour. It's not going to be the likes of big players. I think a lot of us are surprised to see Dustin Johnson on the sheet. Having said he wouldn't, he's now sort of gone back and said he is going to play it. We expected the likes of Garcia, Poulter, Schwartz or Westwood, those sort of players who are coming to, you know, journeyman, coming to the end of their careers. Brandon Grace, interestingly, I looked at him because I wanted to back him in the Memorial if he was running, and he's not, but I see he's now on the list for this. Richard Bland, obviously looking at a payday. Kamer, another one who's game. So the only two real sort of surprises to me were Louis Oosthuizen and Johnson, but we've got a few amateurs playing, and rumour has it that one of these amateurs, and I don't now, because I don't play so much, I've fallen out the loop. I know they've changed the amateur rules, but I think one of these amateurs has been assured a lot of money. I don't know whether he's been paid yet or whether he's been allowed to, but been assured a lot of money, and we're talking a lot of money, $6 million and $250,000 an event to play is what I'm reading. And that is what they're going to go after. They're going to go after the American college stars, you know, the people in the UK winning the Berkshire, the Lytham, those sort of tournaments. They are who they're going to target forward to develop it as the place to go when you're, you know, for the superstars of the future. I've got no doubt about it. You know, it is all just throw money, sports washing, the money wins. You know, Andy Richmond's pointed me to a article in the Financial Times this morning about football and how the money has changed, and you know, England's dominance, if you like, in the Champions League, whilst not necessarily winning it, but getting it. The gulf between the money in the Premier League and the other leagues is widening. The gulf between the teams at the top and the bottom is widening. All down to money, and you can't stop it, and I doubt you're going to stop this. We can jump up and down. I'm not jumping up and down about it. Let them play where they want to play. Makes no difference to my life whatsoever. But it'll be interesting, obviously, now, having announced it. You know, I feel a bit sorry for Jack. They've announced it on the sort of eve of his tournament, but it'll be interesting to see how both the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour react. If they can do anything, whether any of this ends up in court with any of these players, if they try to ban them from playing on the PGA Tour, what the legalities of that are, and whether some of them just go, sod you anyway, we're earning much more over here. And once you see, I mean, the model you can't criticise. They've got a couple of big names. Once other players see this lot bagging, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 million, you watch the drip over, and you watch people's morals and morality disappear out the window very quickly again. It's just going to be another sport consumed by swathes of Saudi Arabian money, which is kind of the shame of it all, really. But as I say, we can't do it. Anyway, the Memorial is an annual highlight on the PGA Tour, and I wrote in my preview before this came out last night that Johnson was missing. You do get a high class field. Cantlay's back as defending champion. John Rahm, who won it 2 years ago, led by six last year before testing for COVID. They told him as he walked off the green. Cam Smith, McIlroy, Matsuyama, Hovland, Morikawa, Spieth. So I sort of looked through it and thought, all aboard. I was surprised to see Scheffler not playing. I thought he might have done one more week, then had a break, but he's not there. Thomas, who has gone home and taken some time off, and I put in DJ, who I thought hasn't been clicking. Perhaps he's just having a bit more time off to find his game. But no, he's rocking up in the first Saudi event. So they're really the three sort of names that you'd say in the top of the field that aren't playing. The course designed by Nicholas, obviously, greatest ever, and he's always looking to improve. And last year he'd lengthened the layout by 150, 200 yards. So they're playing this week just over 7,500 yards, par 72. It is a cracking track. Tree-lined fairways, 11 holes have water on them. He completely rebuilt 14 greens last year. And like the last 2 weeks, they're bent grass greens. The rough is a sort of sticky, tough rough. It's made of Kentucky bluegrass, which I played out of once down in Palm Springs, and I certainly couldn't get out of it very well. And these guys found it quite tough last year, bar Rahm. Green size is around 5,000 square feet, so, you know, pretty average. It's a course that tests all facets of your game, and we've had a couple of surprise winners. Ling Murth won it, and there was another one. Will McGirt won it. But invariably, you need to be pretty strong in all the main SG categories coming in here. Cantlay won twice here in the last 3 years. Obviously, the Rahm one was a bit fortunate of the COVID coming out, and Cantlay went on to beat Morikawa in the playoff. But being in the top 20 in the category, all the main SG categories coming into the event, Rahm was in the top 20 when he won it, bar putting, where he was 27th. DeChambeau in 2018 was no lower than 33 in any rank. So your game needs to be in shape. It's a straightforward approach to trying to find the winner here. And if there's a shock, there's a shock. Fairways are 34 yards on average, about 275 out, but they get narrower. One of the fewer courses that sort of goes to the old premise of they get narrower the longer you go. So, you know, once you get out to that 300, 325 mark, they're only around 25 yards across. So you will see players, if they've got any brains about them, thinking about what they hit off the tee and where they leave themselves. The greens have got some levels in them. So to give yourself good birdie chances, you need to be really playing from the fairway so you can go in with the right club to get to the right level on the green to find the flag to give you those birdie chances. The players did moan a little bit last year. They weren't enamoured with the changes, and I think bubbling that it was a little bit tough. I mean, Rahm, I think, was 18 under, so it can't have been that tough. But 13 under won it. Two of them tied for 13 under. Reasonable score. But Jack had an answer for it, and I agree totally with him. His basic response to it was that tournament golf should be a test and find out who is the best golfer that week. And I'm all for that. We have enough sort of bish bash bosh putting competitions. Not my idea of golf. I don't enjoy watching that. I like to see the players who've got skill in all areas, can hit fairways, you know, hit the right green depth, distance control. And if they do get in trouble, they've got a bit of a struggle to get it up and down or hit the green in the right place. So it tests that element of the game without it being silly, of course. But there's nothing wrong with the course having a bit of fight back. And that's the sort of golf I enjoy watching. So let's look at the players that we do have this week, rather than the ones that are, as I say, the talk will be of all these people in this Saudi tournament, for sure. I'm sure it will consume commentary at times. But let's start with the, as always, with the top 10 when I looked at this last night. Rahm is 11.5, so he won this in 2020. He undoubtedly would have won it last year. He was six shots clear after three rounds. As I say, he'd had a COVID test, I think, before he went out, and they literally grabbed him as he walked off the green. I remember watching it, and kind of devastating. He loves this place. He's first in shots gained off the tee. He's second in shots gained tee to green. He's fifth in shots gained total. I've absolutely no doubt that even at 11.5, he will be a big runner this week on a course that plays well. He hasn't been putting his best, but if you believe in horses for courses, and I do believe in horses for courses, I expect a big showing from John Rahm this week. He could run away with it again. You know, the Tiger sort of dominated Bay Hill and Torrey Pines, and I think this is Rahm's Bay Hill, if you like. He is very, very good round here, and will take all the stopping if he is remotely on form. And obviously his stats are telling you, you know, maybe he'd like to get a few more wins, but one in Mexico. But his stats are telling you that that he is on form. You know, those shots gained, as I say, first off the tee, second in tee to green, and fifth overall. So his game is trending nicely. Big runner. McIlroy, 14.5 next. Playing well, Rory. He's second on shots gained total, third shots gained off the tee, third tee to green. It's then around the green where, you know, it's not disastrous by fields of 160, but it's probably what's stopping him getting the wins to his name. 30th, 38th and 34 in around the green approach, the green and putting. He's sort of becoming at the minute a solid top 10 without the win, doing what he does. Maybe gets off to a good start, disappears for a bit, pops back in the last round. Personally for me, particularly if you're backing him at these sort of odds, 14.5, I'd want to see a win. Or I'm happy for him not to keep winning and drift back out to 20, and you will get him on 1 week, he will win. But I certainly wouldn't want to be taking him on at 14.5 against Rahm, just at 11.5. Cantlay next, 18.5. Won two of the last three here. As I say, fortunate he benefited from Rahm last year being pulled out. But he's still got to go and win it. Beat Morikawa in a playoff. Morikawa got a bit of a mud ball in that from memory. I think he couldn't get to the green. I did watch it, but I can't fully remember. But as I've said recently in these, the game seems to have just fallen off a cliff. I mean, he was horrific at the PGA for his standard, plus 11 after two rounds to miss the cut. You know, he sets high standards for himself when you hear the guy talk, and I'm sure he's working hard to get it back. But from the form he showed from sort of winning this through to the start of the year to what he's producing now, I just could not be, I couldn't be touching him personally. You know, I would want to see in a game that you form so important, I'd want to see him back on his game. Next, Cam Smith, 23. Fancied him in the PGA, 13th in the PGA last time out. Struggling a bit off the tee, but his overall game, he's that good at the minute. He's playing so well that his performance of the tee is being taken care of by the rest of it. I mean, off the tee, he is ranking 113th, but he's first in shot gained approach, third in shots gained total, and on a course where I said, you know, playing to the right spots is going to be key, so he can actually hit some three woods, lay back a bit in the fairway, not go for the narrow bits, lay back and give himself irons into these sort of layered greens. Fantastic iron player. He should be up there. The area of concern I've got, and I think people don't appreciate it enough, if you play in America, the different grasses on the greens, you know, where it varies from fescues to bents, and they all have their different traits. Some are more grainy than others. And I'm not sure that bent grass is his is his favourite. His putting was poor at the USPGA. He lost strokes to the field in 3 out of 4 rounds. Where over the season, you know, before we got to this sort of bent run, he's gained over half a shot around on the field in every tournament so far. So it's a slight concern. It might just be that it's not, and he had a bad putting week. I couldn't rule out backing him pre-event as he's in top form. But I personally want to see him get off to a half-decent start and have a look at those first-day putting stats and see a hopefully positive against the field. And if he is positive against the field, then for me, he'll be right in this. So, yeah, Cam Smith, definitely. I think he's just somebody who's going to be on the radar every week. And when odds of 23, you know, another one, I look at McIlroy at 14.5, Smith at 23. Smith with the players in the bag this season. You know, I'd much rather have Smith on my side. Spieth, 22. Another on great form. First, second, 34th in the PGA, 7th last week. I find it mind-numbing. He's 173rd in putting. It's just mad, given that when the guy was winning majors, he was out putting the world. If he remotely gets the putter going, remotely, he will become unbeatable. He's given shots to the field in 6 of his last 8 rounds putting, but the 2 he didn't give shots to, he gained over 3 shots on the field in both those rounds on the field. So it's obviously there still. It's just patchy. And for me, he is like Rory. See where he gets off to. He's a trader. McIlroy and Spieth are probably the 2 best traders in the markets. People just overreact to them because is it this week? Is it this week? So he's another one to watch the day one putting. And if he gets off, trade him, because the one thing with him, he hangs about, so you're never in a disaster. And even with Rory, you know, you don't need to panic about getting out. He might drift back, but then he'll shoot 64 last day and you've got that chance. And that's part of learning golf trading, and how these players sort of play. So Spieth is always one that's a pretty fair risk to nothing trade wise again, as long as you set your plan for that's how I'm gonna do it. So yeah, let's see how Spieth gets off with the putter on day one, you can't rule the guy out because he's just a gritty player. Just, you know, I think we all like watching him. He talks more than Andy Richmond to his caddy before he hits the shot. They're there for about 10 minutes, but once you get that all out of the way, he's a decent player. Xander Schauffele, 23. On the exchange, lovely golfer, blah de blah 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 blah. I could just actually record one little section and then just go and make it, leave it, record it, put it on for you guys, go and make a coffee, come back. I mean, I just can't touch him, as I've said numerous times. He doesn't win enough. Pretty golfer, but he needs to get some wins for me. So as I say, I'll just cut this out. I can just cut this segment out and put it on next time he plays. So yeah, he's just not one for me. I just want to see, he's just not a winner, and I want to see him get some wins and actually really compete, really get in the, you know, going head to head with people for the title down the last 6-7 holes. Morikawa, I fancied him last week where he finished 40th. He gave 3 shots to the field in the first round, 1.5 shots putting. This is putting, sorry. Gave 3 shots to the field in the first round, 1.5 shots in the second round, just over half a shot in the third round. And then by the fourth round, he'd worked it all out and he made up 1.8 shots on the field putting, but played garbage that day. 120th in putting and 160th around the green. You know, he lost a playoff here last year. 48th the year before, no top 20s this year since the Masters. I just want to see some form from him. I think he's a fantastic player, but, you know, talking about the Open champion, guy who's won a PGA, young lad, brilliant, brilliant iron player. He's just not on song. I wonder about these guys' schedules, these taking long breaks off. You know, he had a big break off after the Masters. I just think some of them are taking... You know, it's become a thing. I just think some of them take too much time off. I think you're better playing A little bit more. You know, Spieth's an example, playing a little bit more, playing weekend and competitive. You know, he took that big break, came back for the PGA, you know, looked rusty. I just think it developed that rust and that inconsistency personally. We're all different, but I always found, certainly when I was playing, that you're in amongst it and playing, you get tournament sharp, not just sort of range ready. So he's one I just want to see a bit of form before I could, you know, I put him up. I can't now until I see something in him. If he is up there, he's a competitor in the mix, and then you might look to trade late on, but let's see how he gets going. Lowry, said I fancied him in the PGA, 23rd. Never really got it going. I'm going to say I like his chances here. He's actually struggled if missing greens. He's kind of mercurial chipper, but he's 126th in shots gained around the green currently. But every other department is absolutely rock solid. He was sixth last year, so knows and plays the course well. He's one who doesn't mind it if it does get a bit tougher, if the rough's a bit tough. So I'm kind of leaning again at 29. I think he's one I definitely want on my radar. You know, as I say, I tend to let the thing start and bet on Friday. Lowry's one I couldn't put you off. You know, Lowry, Smith are the two, and Rahm I couldn't put you off having money on pre-event. Hovland next, 41st at the PGA, 21st last week. Another one I'm going to say much the same week in, week out, while he's featuring in the top 10 in the betting. I love to watch him as a player, but he's got the chipping skills of a dead raccoon. He's sitting outside the top 200 around the green. And I just would have to see that before I could back him. The guy's hitting 68% of greens. You know, so you're missing 32% of greens. You're missing a third of the greens around. You know, you've got to perform better on those greens you're missing. And if I was Victor, I would just be chipping all day long. I just would be out there working on my short game and in the bunkers. He lies 161st in sand saves. Because if he gets that remotely improved, if he could get that up into the top 100, he would be up there week in, week out. He is a fantastic player. He's one of the players I love watching him. Where I said Spieth, you have to sort of pass an exam before he hits the shot. This guy just gets on with the game. Just love the way he hits the golf ball. Think he can hit all the shots. But the short game is just desperate, and he's just got to, you know, at the level he's at, he's got to fix it. Fitzpatrick then completes the top 10 at 30. He said it again. He's been asked about the Saudi tournament and said that it's not about money for him. He's down the Tiger route of legacy. And he said, I didn't come away from the PGA thinking how much I'd won. I come away thinking what a chance I missed. And I love to hear that. I think it's going to scar him for a while. I really do think he'll see that as one got away. You know, he's kind of getting into the bracket now where we're talking of, is he going to win on the PGA Tour? Is he going to win? And he just had a great chance that week, really good chance. And I said it at the time, I was really disappointed in how he played. Just not you know, swinging badly, just making bad decisions, hitting clubs that, you know, I could honestly have stood there and said, you can't hit that, mate. You've got to go up a club. Seemed to be trying to force it, whether he thought he had the adrenaline, but hitting that 5-iron in the water, should have hit 4-iron all day long. Another one he tried to force an 8-iron to was never enough club. I know it's easy watching it on TV, and you see what these others hit, but you watch these guys, you tend to learn how they play, and he's not a forcer of the ball. I expect you'd get a run for your money this week, but, you know, I think there's going to be a bit of a hangover from that PGA, so he's not one that I would get out. He does lead shots gained total, which is a really solid stat coming here. So he's one that I think you could, you know, again, you could have on side pretty safely. I fully expect that he'll be up here. Is he a winner? That's what he needs to prove. Right, so outside that, we've got Matsuyama at 32. Matsuyama's one here. He's playing well. Can't be dismissed. Another one. Only two starts since the Masters. So he's one I definitely would just want to watch in brief, see how round one goes. Didn't play great at one of those starts after muscle at the PGA, didn't play great. So I wouldn't want to be punting in pre-event. See how he starts and it's going. Zalatoris, and this is where price can come into things here, you see. Zalatoris last week was 20 odd in a slightly weaker field, but still had a lot of top players there. So at 20, I said I wouldn't touch him. Zalatoris this week is 38 when I looked last night. It's an insta bet. It's an absolute instant bet to trade. The guy is too good, despite wielding his putter like a welding iron. He's proved in the majors, the players, he's up there. What's he got? Top five in eight majors. He loves tough tests, big fields. He loves that. Beat up at the PGA, probably losing a playoff. He probably felt he should not have been in, a bit like Fitzpatrick. He'll probably look back on that. I'll excuse, missed the cut last week, which I'll excuse. I think he only played last week because it was in Fort Worth, and he lives in Dallas. So I think he probably would rather have not played and felt he had to turn out. So he only had 2 days there, so he's had a bit of rest, bit of time to practice, bit of time maybe to get off. But at the price, it's impossible to leave him out at 38. Even if you do your money, I'm not saying again, putter's got to improve to win it, but for me, he's an instant bet to trade at 38. I was quite staggered at the price for him. I think whether people are overreacting to what happened at the PGA, I don't know, but at 38, I would have to have him on board Zalatoris. Cam Young at 42, play people in form, and this boy's in form. Last three starts, third, second, third. That will do. Real solid young golfer. He will win. He will be a winner. Everything is trending towards it. 10th in shots gained total. Second in shots gained off the tee. Stats are good. Price is good. Playing well. Definitely one on my radar, Cam Young at 42. Again, these are guys, if you were having a punt pre-event, these are the ones I would be looking at. Zalatoris, Young. Mito Pereira, a name probably a lot of people didn't know until 2 weeks ago. The last hole debacle at the PGA. And then he came out last week and finished seventh, which is a real valiant response. Truth is, he loves bent greens. When he played on the lower tour, the Korn Ferry, he won a couple of times on them. He's been playing well the last 2 weeks. Again, he's got to get over the mental battle of what happened at the PGA. Learn from it, hopefully. But really, really strong seventh last week. Played really well the last few weeks. Bar that one hole at the PGA, be a major champion. I know it's easy to say, but that's the reality of it. Just the occasion, bad caddying. 50, it's a big price. It just looks too big. Homer at 46. So you've got quite a few here that, these are great, because I like having a few now, because then obviously I only need two or three of them up there after round one to get involved to trade for profit. Max Homer, again, followed him a bit, playing well, 46, won a few weeks ago in Wells Fargo, 13th in the PGA, 23rd last week, had a couple of disaster holes last week over the 4 days. He's becoming a sort of almost weekly, top 20 guy. Good player he's turning into. I do see him as a future major champion. Sixth here last year, key, played the course, got round it nicely. So one I'm definitely keeping an eye on, Max Homer. I think that's a name that's going to hang around in these pods for a little while. And then Matt Kuchar. Cooch loves it here. And after what for him, Kuchar, I always used to say to my boys, like a cash machine. He just turned up and finished top 10 every week. Winner, but another one, a bit, so not because he won more than Shuffle, but never seemed to get the wins that he should have got. But he just plotted up, earned a load of money, and moved on. And then at the start of the year, you couldn't see his name. It was just horrific, missing cuts. And if he did make the cut, the odd event, he was sort of 67th, 70th out the top 50. And then he didn't get in the Masters, and it's sort of since April has been like the Matt Kuchar of old. He's got four top 20s in the last 6 weeks. He's won here. Likes the place. Game's obviously getting better. I'm not saying he wins, but 80, definitely one I'll be keeping an eye on in the tournament as a trader. Kuch. And then finally, Aaron Wise. He was top 10 here last year, playing well this season. Available on the exchange at 90. Definitely a golfer that can outrun that price. Aaron Wise, again, wouldn't surprise to see him in the top 10 again this year. So one to see. So all those sort of golfers, you know, Hideki's probably the question mark for me. See how round one goes. But Zalatoris, Young, Pereira, Homer, Kuchar, Wise, all ones that I've got in the sort of shortlist that I can look and think, right, if two or three of them get off to a good start, I think it'll almost be impossible then not to trade them for some profit. And then we've got to have the flyer of the week. And the flyer of the week is Cam Davis at 280. Seventh last week. His results are far better than 280. Gained shots on the field in all main categories. And if he can take last week's form forward, we could get a run for the cash. So obviously, look at the odds we're getting involved at 280. Lucas Glover last year. I'm not saying these guys, they're just the, when you look, you sort of go through the top of the field and then you go down and go right out of these, which is the one that could surprise. You can ignore it. You can put a couple of quid on it, do whatever you like. But Cam Davis is the one that's caught my eye at 280. Of course, if John Rahm of last year or the last 2 years here turns up, bar COVID, of course, all that I've just said could be completely moot and a waste of my time. But I think somewhere you've got to factor Rahm in because he is just so good round here. So, you know, you've got to keep that on your board. Another one, you know, I'm not a massive fan of betting golfers at 11.5 in a 160 field, but there's the odd exception where he's not going to disappear much from that price. And if he gets off to a good start, he'll halve in price. So another one you could probably put a few quid on pre-event, fairly risk-free, if you wanted to, and nick a few quid. So there we go. So that is the Memorial. It is a fantastic event. As I say, we're going to be sort of bombarded with the fallout of this Saudi announcement and more the what's the PGA Tour, how are they going to react to it, what are they going to do to these players. You know, some of them won't care, but the likes of Johnson and that, who probably see themselves as around. Taylor Gooch was one, I think, that sort of, I've talked about him being playing quite well, probably one of another surprise names to appear on the list. So just be interested in that. But let's focus on Jack's event. Brilliant course, as I say, those memories of the 87 Ryder Cup. I'm sure some of you have got them coming back to you like me. Hopefully, you know, we see a good tournament, good winner, and I'll put the trades in the Telegram room. Hopefully we get some action. As always, you know, feedback. Hope you're enjoying these. They take me quite a bit of time together to put together each week. So let me know. Let me know if there's anything else you want included, anything else you want me to do, and we can move it forward. Right, have a great week, and I'll be back with you on Friday.